Hi, my name is Vaibhav Samant. I'm a business leader with over 2 decades of experience across sales leadership, business transformation, and entrepreneurship. Over my career, I have worked across industries such as consumer goods, retail, telecom, and consulting, leading large-scale operations and transformation programs for both startups and corporates. Today, I head a fast-scaling agritech venture, Revasa Farms, that is building future-ready supply chains and sustainable ecosystems in India's fruits and vegetable sector. Agriculture marketing channels are the lifeline that connects farms to consumers. They define how efficiently, fairly, and profitably products move from the producer's table, from the producer's field to the consumer's table. These channels are not only about logistics, but they are also about value distribution. At the one end stands the farmers producing raw commodities, and at the other end are the consumers whose preferences shape demand. Between them lies intermediaries, processors, wholesalers, and retailers, each adding value but also extracting margins. When channels work well, products reach the right place at the right time and at the right price. But when they fail, farmers lose income. Consumers face higher prices and the food quality declines. For instance, India's mandi system plays a vital role in aggregation, but the presence of multiple middlemen often reduces the farmer's profitability. Contrast this with digital platforms or the farmer-producer companies that connect directly with retailers, creating greater transparency and higher farmer margins. Agriculture marketing channels, therefore, are not just routes, they are economic arteries of agribusiness. Let us explore the key components that make up these channels and their roles in shaping outcomes. The marketing channel can be broken down into 5 components. The first, producers and farmers, the foundation of the system. From smallholders in Bihar growing vegetables to larger grape exporters in Nasik, they supply the raw commodities. Then we have the intermediaries, agents, traders, and wholesalers who buy in bulk and distribute. They provide scale and logistic supports, but often capture the largest share of the margins. Then we have the processors. These entities add value by converting the raw produce into semi-finished goods or finished goods. Examples are milling wheat into flour, processing mangoes into pulp, or pasteurizing milk. Then we have the wholesalers and retailers. They bring goods to market and handle the branding and packaging and ensure the product visibility for consumers. And finally, we have the consumers. Their preferences for organic, local, sustainable, or convenient product ripple back through the entire chain. Every component is necessary, but every step also introduces cost. For businesses, the challenge is not only to remove the layers, but to optimize them so that value is distributed more fairly. One way to reduce dependency on intermediaries is through direct marketing channels, where farmers sell directly to consumers. Direct marketing channels connect farmers directly with consumers, cutting out the middlemen. This includes farmers markets, farm stands, subscription boxes, community-supported agriculture, or digital farm-to-home platforms. The benefit for farmers are clear. Higher profit margins by retaining value that middlemen would actually take. Direct consumer feedback that helps farmers align products with demand. Strong community bonds where buyers know the face of their food. A good example is Apni Mandis in Punjab or urban organic farmer markets in Bengaluru, where smallholders sell directly, earning 20 to 30% higher returns. Globally, CSA models allow families to subscribe to weekly boxes of seasonal produce, creating a stable income for farmers. However, direct marketing is demanding. Farmers must handle logistics, sales, and marketing themselves, diverting time away from production. Volumes are often small, and scaling such models across geographies can be difficult. Direct marketing works best in niche markets where consumers value freshness, authenticity, and traceability. For the majority of farmers, however, traditional channels remain the dominant way of selling. Traditional channels are the most widespread marketing pathways, particularly in developing economies. Here, farmers sell to intermediaries or wholesalers who then pass the produce to retailers, processors, or exporters. The strength of this system is in its accessibility. A small farmer in Madhya Pradesh with 200 kilos of onions cannot approach a supermarket directly. But through a wholesaler, the onions are aggregated with the with others, transported and sold further downstream. Intermediaries often also provide credit, logistics and risk sharing. The weakness, however, is value erosion. Each middleman adds a margin, leaving the farmer with the smallest slice of the pie. Price discovery is often opaque. A farmer may sell tomatoes at 6 rupees, only to say the consumer buying it at 30 rupees. The gap is absorbed in handling, transport and layers of profit taking. Despite this, traditional channels dominate because they are deeply entrenched and provide immediate liquidity to farmers. Reforming them is not about removal, but about making the system more transparent and efficient. One solution gaining traction is contract farming, which provides farmers with assured buyers and companies with consistent supply. Contract farming is an arrangement between farmers and companies where farmers commit to supply a specific quantity and quality of produce, and companies in turn provide support and guaranteed procurement. For farmers, the benefits include reduced market risk through assured buyers, access to high-quality seeds, inputs, and training, stable pricing, which reduces uncertainty. For the companies, it ensures a consistent supply to match processing or retail needs, better control over quality standards, lower procurement risk compared to the spot market. A classic example is PepsiCo's contract farming with potato farmers in India. Farmers grow processing-grade potatoes while PepsiCo provides inputs and purchases at agreed terms. Both sides benefit, farmers with stable income and PepsiCo with a reliable supply. Challenges do exist. Contracts must be fair, transparent and monitored. Power imbalances can otherwise lead to exploitation. Delayed payments or quality disputes can erode trust quickly. When managed well, contract farming is a win-win model, bringing security to farmers and efficiency to companies. Another way farmer gains strength is marketing through cooperatives, where they act collectively rather than individually. Cooperatives give small farmers the power of collective strength. By pooling resources, they can market products more efficiently and negotiate better prices. They can also reduce individual costs. Through collective marketing, cooperatives aggregate produce, making it attractive for wholesalers, retailers, or exporters who would not otherwise engage with small farmers. This increases the bargaining power. Shared infrastructure like cold storage or transport lowers transaction cost. A good example would be the Amul Dairy Cooperative in India. By uniting thousands of small milk producers, it created one of the largest dairy brands. Similarly, grape farmers' cooperatives in Nasik have helped smallholders access export markets. Cooperatives also open the door to larger organized markets. Individually, farmers may be too small to supply to supermarkets, but together they can guarantee consistent supply and quality. Challenges exist, such as governance issue and unequal participation. However, when managed well, cooperatives transform fragmented farmers into competitive players in the value chain. Even with these models, agriculture marketing channels still face serious challenges that weaken efficiency. Despite the various models, agriculture marketing channels face three major hurdles. The first, market access. Many small farmers remain disconnected from organized market. Without linkages to supermarkets, exporters or processors, they rely on local mandis and accept lower prices. Second, price volatility. Seasonal gluts or shortages create unstable incomes. A bumper harvest might collapse prices, while poor harvest raise prices but leave farmers with little to sell. The third, infrastructure limitations. Poor roads, lack of storage, and a weak cold chain supply chain system causes heavy post-harvest losses. Bihar tomato farmers are a common example where they dump produce by the roadside during glut because transport costs sometimes exceed selling prices. At the same time, the consumers in Delhi pay higher rates for these tomatoes because the connectivity is weak and the reach is lower. These challenges are not minor efficiencies. They are systematic issues that reduce the farmer's income, increase consumers' costs, and waste resources. To address these challenges, we need strategies to enhance the efficiency in the marketing channels. Improving efficiency in the marketing channel requires investment in infrastructure, information, and logistics. Upgrading rural roads or logistics systems reduces delays and spoilage. For example, better road links in Maharashtra grape belts have cut travel times, helping farmers access export hub more reliably. Storage facilities. Cold storage and modern warehouses help preserve product quality. Onion cold storages in Nashik allow farmers to hold back produce and sell when prices improve. Marketing information. Digital platforms like eNAM provide farmers with real-time price and demand data, empowering smarter decisions. Mobile-based apps for market info are also bridging the rural information gaps. When these factors come together, marketing channels become faster and more transparent and more rewarding for both the farmers and the consumers. Efficiency is not only about reducing waste, it is about creating equitable value distribution. Let us consolidate these insights in a summary and look at future directions for agriculture marketing. The story of agriculture marketing channels is one of both opportunity and challenge. Understanding channels means recognizing the role of every stakeholder from the farmers to the consumers and how each adds value. Challenges such as market access, volatility, and infrastructure gaps must be addressed systematically. Innovation through contract farming, cooperatives, and digital platforms show that solutions are possible and scalable. Looking forward, the future lies in integrating traditional and modern practices. Traditional mandis provide scale but lack transparency. Digital platforms offer efficiency but lack inclusivity. The winning model will combine both creating channels that are efficient, transparent, and fair, policy support where private sector investments and farmer training will be critical in this transformation. If achieved, the result will be stronger farmer incomes, stable consumer prices, and a sustainable food systems. From marketing channels, let's move on to another critical aspect, commodity markets and price formation in agriculture. Commodity markets are where agriculture products are bought and sold and where prices are discovered. These markets don't just affect farmers. They influence consumers, traders, and even government policy. They serve two purposes. Price discovery, determining fair prices based on supply and demand. Liquidity, providing a platform where products can be traded efficiently. Examples of commodity markets include local mandis, spot markets for immediate sales, or formal exchanges like NCDEX in India or Chicago Mercantile Exchange globally. For farmers, these markets can be double-edged. They offer access and liquidity, but volatility can make incomes highly uncertain. For consumers, they ensure supply, but can also pass on the price shocks. Commodity markets are thus the hotbed of agriculture economics. Understanding them is crucial for anyone in agribusiness because they determine the profitability, competitiveness, and survival. To understand them better, let's look at different types of agriculture commodity markets. Agriculture commodities are traded through multiple types of markets. Spot markets, immediate buying and selling on real-time supply-demand conditions. Farmers selling vegetables in a mandi for cash. Future markets, contracts to deliver commodities at a future date. This helps farmers hedge risks while speculators manage the volatility. NCDEX futures in India are for soybean or guar seeds, for example. Local wholesale markets. Bulk transactions where intermediaries and wholesalers buy for distribution to retailers. These are critical hubs for India's food system. Commodity exchanges. Former platforms like the Chicago Mercantile Exchange or MCX in India offer standardized contracts, transparency, and tools for risk management. Each market type plays a role. Spot markets provide immediacy, futures provide predictability, and wholesale markets provide scale. while the exchanges provide transparency. For agribusiness, using the right mix of these markets is the key to balancing risks, return, and reach. Now that we know the types, let's explore how supply and demand shape price formation in these markets. At the core of agriculture commodity markets lies the principle of supply and demand. Prices rise when demand exceeds supply and fall when supply outpaces demand. For example, during a bumper wheat harvest, the excess supply lowers prices, benefiting consumers but squeezing farmer margins. Conversely, during shortages of onion and pulses, prices spike sharply, creating affordability issues and issues for consumers. Price formation is also dynamic. It sends signals to both producers and consumers. When prices rise, farmers are more encouraged to produce more in the next season. When prices fall, consumers often buy in large quantities. This continuous adjustment keeps market functioning. However, agriculture markets are often imperfect. Information gaps, storage limitations, and the perishability nature of products distort normal supply-demand responses. For instance, farmers may sell at throwaway prices immediately after harvest due to the lack of cold storage, even when future demand is strong. Understanding supply-demand dynamics is therefore essential for farmers, businesses, and policymakers alike, because it influences policies on production, procurement, and consumption. Beyond supply-demand, weather and climate conditions also play a major role in shaping agriculture prices. Agriculture is uniquely vulnerable to weather variability. A single unexpected event like unseasonal rains and drought or floods can drastically reduce yields and disrupt supply. This leads to sudden price spikes in the commodity markets. For example, heavy rains in Maharashtra frequently damage onion crops, causing prices in Delhi and Mumbai to skyrocket. Similarly, droughts in key wheat-producing regions like Madhya Pradesh or Punjab reduce supply and push up prices nationwide. In the long term, climate change is adding complexity. Rising temperature, shifting rainfall patterns, and increased frequency of extreme weather events are making agriculture production less predictable. This creates greater volatility in both supply and pricing. The ripple effects are significant. Farmers face uncertainty in incomes, businesses struggle with planning, and consumers bear the brunt of price instability. Resilience requires insurance products, better forecasting, and climate-smart farming practices. With improved weather data and adaptation, farmers can hedge risks and reduce the impact of climate shocks on markets. Alongside weather, government policies also strongly influence how commodity prices behave. Government actions often shape agriculture commodity prices as much as natural forces. Minimum support prices, MSPs, guarantee farmers a base rate for crops like wheat and rice, protecting them from market crashes. Inputs like fertilizer, seeds, and electricity are subsidized to reduce farmer costs, indirectly affecting market supply and pricing. Tariffs and export restrictions, for example, bans on onion export to control domestic prices, or import duties on pulses to protect local farmers. While these interventions protect vulnerable groups, they also distort natural price discovery. For example, prolonged MSP reliance can discourage crop diversification, while sudden exports bans harm farmers' trust. The balance lies in policies that stabilize incomes without discouraging efficiency. Transparent policy frameworks, timely implementation, and farmer consultations are essential for success. Beyond governments, another major force shaping prices is speculation in commodity markets. Speculation in commodity markets is a double-edged sword. On one side, speculators provide liquidity, ensuring that buyers and sellers can always find trading partners. This makes markets more efficient. They also aid in price discovery by anticipating future supply demand conditions. For example, if speculators expect a drought to reduce wheat supply, future prices rise, giving early warning signals to market. However, excessive speculation can create an artificial volatility. Rapid buying and selling by large traders sometimes amplifies the price swings far beyond actual supply-demand realities. This unnecessarily creates confusion and risk for farmers and consumers. An example is always seen in global coffee markets, where speculation often drives prices up or down rapidly, while small producers in countries like Ethiopia bear the brunt of this uncertainty. The key is balance, allowing speculation to provide liquidity and forward-looking pricing, while regulating to prevent an extreme volatility. Another important factor influencing prices is the cost of production itself. The cost of producing agriculture commodities directly impacts the minimum viable selling price for farmers. Input costs like seeds, fertilizers, pesticides, fuels, and labor form the bulk of the expenses. Rising global fertilizer prices in 2022, for instance, pushed up cultivating costs worldwide, affecting commodity prices. Cost push factors. Higher costs often push up final prices. A rise in diesel costs increases transport rates, which is passed down to the consumers. Technological advances. On the positive side, innovations reduce cost. Mechanized harvesting or drip irrigation can increase efficiency, lowering the overall price burden. Farmers face a squeeze when input costs rise faster than output prices. Consumers, in turn, face affordability charges when cost-push inflation drives food prices higher. The lesson here is clear. Reducing production costs through technology and subsidies and efficiency is as important as stabilizing prices in market. Let's now consolidate these learnings into key takeaways and a future outlook for commodity markets. Agriculture commodity markets form the backbone of trade in crops, cereals, pulses, and oilseeds. Yet these markets face challenges that directly affect both farmers and consumers. One of the foremost issues is the extreme price volatility. A bumper harvest often drives price down, hurting farmers' income, while a poor harvest sends price soaring, straining consumers. This unpredictability discourages investment and long-term planning. Another challenge is the dominance of intermediaries. In many mandi systems, farmers are forced to sell through commission agents, limiting their bargaining power and reducing the share of value that reaches them. Infrastructure gaps makes the problem worse. Without adequate storage, grading facilities, or transport, farmers are often compelled to sell immediately after harvest when prices are at their lowest. There is also the issue of quality and standardization. Many commodity markets lack mechanization for testing and grading produce, leading to disputes and reduced trust. At the same time, policy interventions such as sudden export bans or changes in the minimum support prices create uncertainty and distort natural market behavior. These challenges highlight the urgent need for reforms that create transparency, improve infrastructure, and strengthen farmer participation. With this backdrop, let us now look at the broader challenges in agribusiness marketing as a whole. Agriculture commodity markets are complex, influenced by supply-demand dynamics, weather policy, speculation, and production cost. The key takeaways are market types: spot, futures, wholesale, and exchanges all play unique roles in liquidity and price discovery. Second, price drivers. Supply-demand shifts, weather variability, government policies, and speculation are the main forces behind volatility. Third, farmer vulnerability. Price swings often hurt the smallholders most, as they lack storage, capital, and hedging tools. Future outlook. Technology integration, digital platforms, better weather forecasting, and artificial intelligence-driven analytics will improve transparency and planning. Policy reforms, stable, consultative, and predictable government actions will reduce distortions. Farmer empowerment, expanding cooperatives, access to future markets, and input will support and help smallholders manage risk better. The path forward is clear: build more transparent, resilient, and inclusive commodity markets that protect farmers while ensuring consumers get a fair price. Next, we will turn to a different dimension, how marketing strategies vary between perishable and non-perishable goods. Marketing strategies in agribusiness differ sharply depending on whether the product is perishable or non-perishable. Perishable goods such as fruits, vegetables, dairy, and meat have short shelf lives, They require rapid turnover, specialized packaging, and cold chain logistics to reach consumers in peak condition. For example, strawberries from Mahabaleshwar must be harvested at dawn, cooled immediately, and transported the same day to Mumbai markets. Any delay reduces the quality and prices dramatically. Non-perishable goods, like on the other hand, grains, pulses, and processed foods, have greater durability. They can be stored for months under moderate conditions, allowing more flexibility in marketing and sales. This is why rice or wheat can be sold in bulk, transported over long distances, and released into the markets gradually. The contrast between the two categories shapes everything from pricing strategies to storage investment. Perishables demand speed, precision, and higher logistics cost, but also allow for premium pricing in niche markets like organic or ready-to-eat produce. Non-perishables require efficiency, scale, branding to stand out in highly competitive commodity markets. In essence, perishability determines how urgent, complex, and costly marketing becomes, and understanding this difference is key to designing successful agribusiness strategies. Let us now dive deep into the characteristics of perishable goods and what makes their marketing so challenging.